Welcome in, hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning discussing the craziness that is Tennessee football. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and bring in Blake Topmeyer from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Blake, what's going on, man? Thanks for taking time to join us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Absolutely. And Blake, obviously a crazy day yesterday. Jeremy Pruitt out, Philip Fulmer retiring. What did you think of all that went down yesterday? And what do you think the scope is of this investigation, both by Tennessee and the NCAA?
Well, I mean, the investigation obviously goes pretty deep and it's pretty serious with a lot of potential violations. I mean, you know, the chancellor laid that out pretty clearly yesterday. It's interesting, you usually don't see a university fess up to the violations or what it believes to be the violations this early in the process and you know, so explicitly. You know, a lot of times, especially here in the last couple of years, you see the universities kind of entrench themselves in these cases and tell the NCAA, if you believe malfeasance happened, okay, go ahead and prove it. Tennessee obviously not taking that stance, but there's two issues at play here. I mean, one is the investigation, and two was the fate of Jeremy Pruitt. I mean, I think, you know, quite clearly Tennessee wanted to take care of Pruitt's fate on the front end and, you know, fire the people that they thought were responsible for these violations, and they feel like Pruitt was involved in that. And then deal with part two of this on the other side of it. So it's, you know, it's going to be interesting to see now how Tennessee moves forward with this because they quite clearly have kind of admitted that, you know, there was a lot of malfeasance that did occur within the recruiting of the football program.
Yeah, and Blake, you know, great job on this. You've broken a lot of news in this story along the way here. So I want you to now give me a prediction. How much money is Tennessee going to end up having to pay Jeremy Pruitt?
Prediction? I mean,
exact number, Blake.
It's going to be difficult, I think, for Jeremy Pruitt because – you know, Tennessee laid out in that termination letter six fire for cause provisions that Pruitt violated in his contract. So, you know, in his statement that his lawyer put out, or it was his lawyer's statement last night. I mean, you know, the lawyer said that they contend that Jeremy Pruitt did not commit any major violations, which was one of the provisions that Tennessee says that Pruitt violated in his contract. You know, the lawyer contends that Jeremy Pruitt did not know about the conduct of members of his staff. Well, you know, if you read his contract, and, you know, obviously I'm not a lawyer, but, you know, you read his contract, it doesn't say that Pruitt not knowing that members of his staff were committing violations would be a defense. And even if, you know, Pruitt and his lawyer are able to show that he didn't commit any major violations, again, I mean, there are several fire for cause provisions that Tennessee is saying he violated. And, you know, this is something Tennessee's been doing the last several years, really, I mean, dating back to since John Curry was fired. In 2017, Tennessee has been adding more and more fire for cause provisions to its contract throughout the years. And I think for exactly these circumstances, for, you know, when it needs or when it's throwing someone overboard, whenever it's firing someone, to offer itself protections against these lofty buyouts that Tennessee's been paying over the years. You know, it was just a couple years ago, Tennessee led the nation in severance payments. Well, you know, now the day comes where it's exercising these fire for cause provisions, and I think it's probably much better set up to protect itself against a potential lawsuit than it was a few years ago when it fired John Curry and John Curry was able to get some settlement. I mean, you know, will Pruitt be able to get some settlement money? It's possible, but I do think the way this contract is structured, you know, there's several avenues that Tennessee's going to be able to give itself to make this Fire for Cause stand up, I think.
But of course, the road to zero is a long, public, ugly road, right? I mean, I guess that's kind of my thing is, like, at some point, don't you say, okay, here, take this and go away and shut up?
Well, yeah, that's just it. I mean, does Tennessee have grounds maybe to take this to the finish line and say you get nothing? I think the contract would say that yes, they very well could have grounds to do that, but is it worth it in the end? I mean, that's an interesting question, I think, for the chancellor and the president that they will now have to face. And actually, I asked the chancellor that yesterday of, did you consider trying to settle up front with Jeremy Pruitt? And if so, why didn't you do that? And she said, yes, I did give some brief consideration, but that in the end, that just didn't sit right with her, given the number of violations that she feels occurred under Pruitt's watch, the extent of malfeasance that she believes was going on in that program. She said it didn't sit well with her to come to a front end settlement and to pay buyout money. And instead, you know, the more appropriate thing to do was to pursue this for cause firing. Now, you know, as it goes down the road here and perhaps that opinion changes, but, you know, at least for now, it seems like Tennessee's pretty committed to not pay any severance money to these fired individuals, because it's, you know, it's not just Pruitt. Obviously he would be the most expensive one, but the other two, the two assistants, Brian Niedermeyer and certainly Shelton Felton, who is under contract for an additional season, he would fall into that category too of otherwise being owed severance, but because he was fired for cause, Tennessee plans to pay him nothing.
Blake Topmeyer from the Knoxville News Sentinel on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Blake, what did you think of the press conference yesterday with Plowman, Boyd, and Fulmer, and the way all that was handled?
Well, certainly a very somber tone, and one thing I did, and it was just kind of remember back to the press conference in 2017 when Philip Fulmer was anointed as AD, because it was, you know, it was not apples-to-apples scenario, but it was somewhat similar in that you had an athletic director change occurring in the midst of a coaching search. Now, the difference was there wasn't a recruiting scandal going on at that time. But if you think back to 2017, I thought that was a very bizarre press conference in which Philip Fulmer was announced as AD, because it was like this celebration. I mean, there was a very celebratory mood that day, and it was strange because the reason Philip Fulmer was becoming AD was because John Curry was ousted after his coaching search went wayward, and Tennessee had become a national punchline for how poorly its coaching search was going, and it was like this celebratory mood. It was very strange. And conversely, yesterday was very somber. I thought Chancellor Plowman and President Boyd were very stern in laying out that they won't stand for these kind of violations at Tennessee, this kind of breach of integrity as they see it. Philip Fulmer, you know, obviously, I think it's clear that this is quite certainly not the way he envisioned his career ending. In typical Fulmer fashion, there was a cringe-worthy moment in his press conference where he was asked to assess the state or how the football program evolved, you know, under Jeremy Pruitt, and he mentioned that he thought recruiting was good under Pruitt, which is like, wait a second, did someone forget to give Fulmer the memo that the reason these guys are getting fired is because of sweeping recruiting violations within the program? So that was like I said, quite cringeworthy. But beyond that, you know, I thought the somber and stern mood sort of reflected, I don't know, the nature of things. When you're firing 10 people and when you're admitting this early in the process that there are serious and numerous violations likely to come from this, I thought the mood was fitting.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite parts. My other part was when Randy Boyd said, I haven't been as proud of you, Phillip, since you raised that trophy in the desert. And I mean, that was just a really heart. Yeah, just a wonderful moment.
That felt like it didn't belong. It did seem like, you know, it did seem like Chancellor Plowman and especially President Boyd in that moment were going out of their way to tell Fulmer just how great of a job they thought he had done throughout the course of his career. And of course, you know, if Philip Fulmer had really done a tremendous job as athletic director, and maybe Tennessee wouldn't have been in this situation of facing, you know, these sweeping and numerous violations within the football program. Now, the chancellor was quite clear in saying that Philip Fulmer isn't connected to these violations in any way, indeed, but part of his job as athletic director is to monitor his athletic programs and to promote a culture of compliance. And, you know, obviously not only did he fail to jumpstart success within the football program in hiring and then extending Jeremy Pruitt, but he also failed to promote an atmosphere of compliance within at least one of his athletic programs. So, yeah, it's obvious that Tennessee wants a smooth transition, you know, now that Philip Fulmer is going to be stepping down as athletic director, and it's obvious Tennessee wants to handle that as gently and as professionally as possible. And I can understand from a public relations side of things why Tennessee would have every desire to do that. But yes, that part was a little strange too, especially that comment from Randy Boyd towards Philip. And, you know, Philip kind of gave a bit of a forced, tight smile there when Randy said that, but it really seemed to have no place in the press conference.
Yeah, it's funny how nobody mentioned that, like that actually Philip Fulmer should also be expected to promote an atmosphere of compliance. We forgot that part in the presser. Blake, future coaches, potential coaches, how do you think they're looking at Tennessee right now? Obviously, still a place with tradition, with facilities, with resources, all that stuff. But now, in light of this self-investigation, do you think that is just another knock against, you know, hiring the type of coach that can turn this program around?
Well, fans hired Hugh Freeze in October, right? The coaching search is over.
That's right.
I mean, fans ran the coaching search last time. So, you know, if that's the case, Hugh Freeze will be announced tomorrow. But no, seriously, I would be surprised given the gravity of the NCAA violation situation, or at least, you know, the way the chancellor's laid it out. I'd be surprised if Hugh Freeze emerges as a serious candidate because of, you know, exactly what happened with the NCAA violations, recruiting violations within the Ole Miss program. So it's like, okay, Hugh Freeze off, where do you turn? I do think it's going to be a bit of a challenge for Tennessee to attract top-notch candidates for a couple reasons. I mean, one, you're going to be pretty late in the process. I mean, at the very best, you're going to be hiring a coach in late January. At worst, you're probably going to be going into February. You do wonder if Tennessee is going to focus maybe on some young, up-and-coming type coaches. I mean, I think Jamie Chadwell at Coastal Carolina would be someone that would probably deserve consideration for this. You wonder about Billy Napier at Louisiana. He seems to be pretty content to be patient at Louisiana, and considering that patience, you know, I wonder how strong his desire would be to jump into this situation. Or I think you have to think maybe about the possibility of some guys that are on the market and need a job. Having said that, you know, I think Tom Herman's a name that will come up as maybe a potential, but, you know, for Tom Herman, he's someone that I think, you know, he could really give his career a jump start. I don't think Tom Herman's career, is relegated to be finished. But if he does poorly at his next job, I think his head coaching career could be finished. And so he's got to select that next job pretty carefully, I think. And he's enjoying a lot of buyout money to where he can be picky. And you just wonder if someone like that is going to want to jump into a situation where Tennessee, it seems pretty likely here, is going to be facing either self-imposed penalties in the near future or NCAA penalties to come, or a combination of both. And so, I mean, that's the issue with yesterday, with Tennessee saying we're going to fire these people, we're going to fire Pruitt and others for cause. We're going to admit to sweeping violations within the program. I mean, that's all well and good. Frankly, you know, maybe it's a little bit refreshing to see an athletic department and a university, I should say, you know, admit to malfeasance going on rather than tell the NCAA, we're not going to admit to anything. Good luck proving it. But you know, the difficult part comes now in not only defending against crippling violations on the back half of this, but part two is convincing someone that this is still a job that you want. I mean, as you mentioned, Joe, that there's still a lot of advantages that you enjoy at Tennessee, so it's not like you're not going to attract decent candidates, but I think it's going to be a challenge, and I think we have to acknowledge at least the possibility that Kevin Steele could emerge as a realistic candidate to get the job. I mean, let's not forget, Kevin Steele was the runner-up for this job when Jeremy Pruitt landed it in 2017. Now, he was the runner-up for Philip Fulmer after the search had kind of imploded under John Curry, and there was a firing there, but he was strongly considered for this job before, and I would think that he's very much going to try to get himself in play here now that the job is open again, and I think that's a possibility we have to consider.
Blake Topmeyer from the Knoxville News Sentinel has been our guest here on Robbie and Retro. Blake, great stuff, great job reporting on all this with Tennessee football. We appreciate you taking time to join us.
Okay, sounds good, guys. Thanks.
Absolutely. When Thanks, we come Blake. Back, we'll react to a little bit of what Blake had to say there. How desirable of a coaching job is this going to be now, given everything going on around this football program? We'll discuss that when we come back. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, reacting to the news yesterday coming out of Knoxville. Jeremy Pruitt has been fired. Philip Fulmer is retiring. The investigation still ongoing, but the scope of it pretty large for this Tennessee football program. And now they're in search of a new athletic director and a new head football coach to lead this program that has been an absolute mess for the past decade plus. And Joe, we were talking to Blake Topmeyer from the Knoxville News Sentinel in the last segment, and you asked the question of this job and how desirable it is from a coaching perspective as you look at this from the national scale, because it is Tennessee. You got a lot of things to like, obviously a passionate fan base, big time money in this football program, a lot of resources in this program. But I'll be honest, like if I'm a big time coaching candidate, if I'm a guy that's got Power 5 experience and I've proven that I can win before and I'm on the market right now, I'm looking at this Tennessee job and thinking, you know what? I don't know about that. I mean, there is a whole lot of mess that needs to be cleaned up for me to feel comfortable about this Tennessee job. How do you think potential coaching candidates view Tennessee right now and the scope of everything that we've seen happen over the course of yesterday and really the past few years?
Wow, there's a lot of skepticism, as there should be. I mean, even before this, you know, we saw the last coaching search.
Yep.
It got to Greg Schiano. I mean, look, I know that John Curry had some, you know, dealings with Greg Schiano, and we know, you know, Jimmy Haslam did, and there was, you know, there was some momentum for him, but he wasn't the first choice in that search. They went through several possibilities who apparently just didn't have enough interest in the job before they got to that. Then of course you get from that to you know, that getting spiked and then all the chaos that ensued after that. And now you add this in. I mean, look, I still think what you're talking about, you can come make more than $4 million at a place that I still would put absolutely in the top 15 of jobs in this country. Someone's going to take it, but yeah, I think your pool is restricted. Blake brought up Tom Herman. I expect, and this is based on some conversations yesterday, I think Tom Herman is going to end up in the NFL this year. And I think Tom Herman, and not with like a prominent job, but I think Tom Herman, to Blake's point, you got to be very careful with your next move before you end your, you know, you find yourself, you know, falling down that ladder. And I don't think Tennessee is the job that you jump to,
no,
to try to, you know, to feel secure about things. So I think you can rule him out. I mean, look, I would make a guy like Luke Fickell say no, and then Matt Campbell, hey, shoot as high as you want to shoot. I don't think those guys are realistic. Now, I am intrigued by the idea of Gus Malzahn, but of course the hilarious part there is they just – their interim coach right now is now sworn mortal enemies with Gus Malzahn, yes, apparently. So, but I mean, that to me could be an incredible save of this situation, to have someone who, again, I believe you're going to win at a higher clip than you have over this entire, you know, time period since going back to when Philip Fulmer was fired and his program had started to fade. But, you know, I mean, you're in a bind there. So I think you're going to have to go down the list some, and maybe a guy, you know what, maybe Jamie Chadwell ends up being a great answer. He does have a little bit of NCAA stuff, but I don't think his stuff is serious enough to be a non-starter like Hugh Freeze's. I mean, I think you can, you know, I mean, obviously we know Tennessee can spin anything, but I think you can effectively spin that. I mean, it wasn't the type of stuff we're talking about here with Chadwell. I mean, you might luck out. Billy Napier, guy Topmeyer brought up, that's a thought too, has done really good things at Louisiana. I think you're going to have to take a chance on someone like that. And the thing is, even with those guys, that's less of a chance than the D coordinator who's never been a head coach.
Yeah, I mean, that's the amazing part about it is, as bad as it looks right now at Tennessee, the next coach you end up with probably is going to have more experience as a head coach as Jeremy Pruitt did. I mean, that would be my guess just based on the odds right now. But it's a mess. And regardless of who the next coach is, the environment around this place has got to get fixed. I mean, this has been a toxic place, a toxic football program for the past 12, 13 years. And there's really no sign of it right now of getting a whole lot better. And Trevor Maddich talked about that yesterday on with Jared Stillman and Stillman and Company. Here's what Trevor had to say.
So when you talk about the factions that are involved within that do have a say in terms of money or power, the impression I get and what I'm being told by people that I trust is that you've got people working against one another. You talk about how you do one thing right, you hire a guy, you think he's good, and all of a sudden, bang, he gets dragged down the minute that things start to go poorly, right? Well, then you get that coach is gone. Then the guys that got that coach fired, they get their coach. They win. Okay. The other side, they lost. Put our guy in. Our guy goes in. The other side is attacking him at the first opportunity. That guy's gone. And so there seem to be these kinds of factions. The impression out there within the coaching community is that there are those kinds of factions. I can't say I know for a fact myself that it's true. I can tell you for a fact that people that I know tell me that that's what they believe. These are people that might have a vested interest at some point in the program. That's a problem because that means that if you're a coach coming in, you don't know if you have a chance to be successful. You just don't.
So what do you think of that idea thrown out there by Trevor that maybe there are some competing factions at Tennessee and that's what the perception is nationally from maybe some coaches that could be interested in that job, and that is a major turnoff for them when it comes to this Tennessee football program?
Yeah, I think there's something to that. You know, I've been told that when Fulmer was fired, you know, the amount of involvement from boosters was like way beyond what you'd expect. You expect it to some extent. I mean, we're talking about people who fund this program. We always talk about the arms race and the ridiculous facilities and all the money. Well, where does that come from? It comes from these people and they expect to have a say. And I don't know why some places seem to have more harmony than others. It's probably kind of a bottom up thing. If you have a coach who wins and everybody's happy and okay, great. All right, here, send this bag of cash to this recruit and you give this money over here to this facility and let's all, you know, tailgate together. And sit in the luxury suites. I mean, you know, if you're winning, everything's fine. And when you have this extended period of turmoil and not winning, and more people get angry, and I want to try my guy or my way. I mean, look, we know that the Haslam family, when Fulmer was fired, that's very well documented that, you know, essentially they finally decided that he, you know, it was his time. And that was a big thing, you know, that was a big deal. And it was perceived that when Fulmer got brought back in 3 years ago, that bizarre presser we've talked about, that was sort of a, okay, let's let someone other than the Haslams run things. Now, I think it's overstating things to just say the Haslams ran everything, okay? But obviously, Big Jim Haslam, been a trustee. I mean, you know, they've got a lot of power, a lot of money. Bill Haslam, former governor. I mean, you know, there's a lot of money and power in that family, a lot of investment in Tennessee. But that's what it was perceived as, was, okay, now it's a different faction having their say. And I think in general, if you continue to have this idea of factions, if that's true and that carries on, it's going to be harder to get where you want to get. Now, I don't know what the answer is, but I think one answer is you better have strong leadership in the administration. You better have a strong AD. I still think Tennessee has a chance here. If they can bungle themselves into a good AD hire, they might be able to still save this. But you got to have someone who's able to do the job and keep those groups at some arm's length, which is, of course, much harder to do if you aren't winning. So it's chicken and egg, you know?
Yeah, it is. And every time that there is a job opening, a coaching position open, the attention turns to Tennessee's golden son to see whether or not he could come in and help save the day. Bruce Feldman from The Athletic had some interesting comments on that yesterday on Darren Donick and Chase. We'll discuss those when we come back. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Make sure you're tuning in later today at 8:45 a.m. for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. We are 2 for 2 so far in our listeners with Preds Pick to Click. So got some pressure to keep things going. We'll have that for you coming at 8:45 today here on the show. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, and Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. David Ubben from The Athletic will join us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into the mess with Tennessee and where they go from here in terms of their coaching and athletic director search. That coming up at 8 o'clock. So looking forward to talking with David at that point. But, Joe, anytime a job opening comes up at Tennessee, and that's happened quite frequently over the course of the past decade plus, the attention turns in some form or fashion to Peyton Manning. And he is the golden son of this
Peyton
football
Manning?
Program. Yes, thank you, Beth. We appreciate that. He is the golden son of this football program. He is celebrated more than probably any player in the history of the program has been celebrated. And I think Tennessee fans, some in their mind, think that eventually he's coming in on like this white horse and he's going to save the day. Bruce Feldman from The Athletic also does some work with Fox Sports as well. Joined Darren Donick and Chase yesterday and had some very interesting comments about Peyton Manning, maybe what his role could be in this upcoming search. Here's what Bruce Feldman had to say.
From what I had heard from some sources both last week and now again this morning was that Peyton Manning was going to be influential in their search process this time. And we'll see what that means because, you know, at this point, I mean, there's definitely some candidates that I've heard that he's very, intrigued with, but who knows if those guys are going to want to come right now. I mean, as I said, this situation, you know, the leadership, you don't know who your AD is going to be at this point, going forward. You're also, you know, unsaid, but is out there is next year is the year most people in the industry expect there to be a lot of coaching turnover. You know, are guys who might be candidates going to sit back and go, you know what, I'm not touching that job, even though there was great history and they were really good a long time ago. But there's also now some concern about how the NCAA is going to view it. You've got a place that has been so, like, can't get out of its own way. I mean, just like when somebody wonders about a dysfunctional athletic program or football program, Tennessee is the picture of it. Because if you've seen what has gone on in the last dozen years there, it is just, it's insane, right? I mean, this last search process was mind-boggling. And then here we are again just 3 years later.
So, Joe, we all know what a disaster the last coaching search was, and now you're in a situation where you've got NCAA violations hanging around the program as well. What do you think of the idea that Bruce threw out there about Peyton Manning potentially being heavily involved in this coaching search? Is that a good idea?
So let me make sure. Bruce did say it. Dozen years there, right? Because yes. when I thought he said thousand, and I'm like, God, it does feel like that, Bruce. It does feel like that.
He did say dozen, but there's really no difference at this point.
Yeah, basically, it's pretty much the same thing. Listen, Peyton Manning is always going to me, have whatever voice he wants to have. Not only is he your most visible alum, he's also anybody who has ever been in the Peyton Manning room. Which to me has got to be one of the great recruiting tools in college football. Yeah. You know, this is a guy who you need his input. You need his involvement. You want him on the sideline. You also like his money, continue as you move forward. He's really important. So I'm fine with him having some say, but I don't know that I want too much say. You know, I just think this is one of those situations where Peyton Manning, okay, great. I like this guy. I like that guy, whatever, whatever. But he's not the one who's working with him. You know, and this is where, like, dysfunction, part of getting rid of dysfunction is having humans who can work with each other on a daily basis. So, like, to me, I want Peyton Manning involved, but I don't really want him to have a voice in what you're doing here. He's not going to be there on a daily basis. He's going to pop in for 3 football games a year. And he's going to stay at his hotel in Knoxville and be on the sideline, and that's great. But, you know, the people who make this decision, and I understand I think search firms sometimes get misunderstood. Search firms are really there just for a lot of the vetting of things,
right,
and a lot of the grunt work and red tape you get rid of. And then you get to the point where, okay, now here's this pool. Now you get dig in and figure out who you want. To me, it's that, and it's the people who are going to be working with this AD and this coach who have to make smart decisions. And if Peyton wants to weigh in or be part of the, you know, like a search committee, that happens a lot at schools where they'll have different people on this quote unquote, you know, search committee. Sometimes they'll have like the prominent former, you know, athlete. Usually it's people who are at the university, but sometimes you'll have somebody like that, but it's got to be limited.
It does. And look, I love Peyton Manning just as much as anybody, and I do think that there should be some involvement there. I think he's a smart guy, and obviously he's connected. I mean, I will also point out, you know, Peyton Manning won a Greg Schiano last time as well, and that was a big sticking point with Tennessee fans. They were mad at Peyton Manning for wanting Greg Schiano. So, I mean, it's not like that if Peyton Manning gets heavily involved in this process that it's just going to turn out perfectly, because he was all on board with Greg Schiano last time, and I know that – that's going to be a popular talking point today of whether or not that was a mistake not to hire Greg Schiano. I don't think it was. I don't think that would have gone well. I know Jeremy Pruitt didn't go well either, but that doesn't mean that Greg Schiano is just automatically this guy that would have worked out at Tennessee. So I'm cool with having Peyton involved. I think he should be involved in some level. But I think like completely turning a search over to him and just being like, you know, Peyton, we'll follow your lead. Anything you say we'll do would be a huge mistake.
Yeah, you know, the Schiano thing, you know, Peyton was all in on Pruitt. I mean, whoever they hire, Peyton is going to be an ally to that coach, and that's great. It's great to have an asset like Peyton Manning. He's still someone that I think, you know, some recruits remember his playing career. I mean, he's a link to the past greatness that some young people can still identify with. So that's great. You want him involved. But, yeah, I mean – He's not making the call here, and he shouldn't make the call here. It's just you got to have a limit to it. And frankly, I don't think Peyton Manning. I just would be surprised. He's like, guys, it's my turn.
Yeah.
I'm picking the coach. You know, now maybe there are other boosters who do say this around Tennessee. And I mean, look, Bruce had some harsh words there about picture of dysfunction in college athletics, but how could you argue otherwise at this point? I mean, name me another program. There's been other programs, you know, who are stuck in this rut, who are formerly great, Nebraska, Michigan, you know, certainly, and it's cyclical, and Alabama was here before too, but as far as all the other things that go with it, the wackiness and craziness, I mean, no one can touch Tennessee right now.
When we come back, we'll dive a little bit deeper into Philip Fulmer and the load of crap that Tennessee decided to sell us yesterday about his retirement. I've got some strong thoughts about that coming up. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
To our great alumni and fans and friends, I am deeply sorry that we've arrived at this day in our history. To my staff and support groups and faculty and administration, I want to say a hearty thank you for everything that you've done for me in my time here as the athletic director. We have many fine young men, coaches, and administrators in our program. We all know that UT has an outstanding history in academics and athletics. It also demands that we do things the right way and within the rules. I'm proud of that. And we can do that and compete in the greatest conference in the country.
That was Philip Fulmer yesterday at the press conference alongside Dondi Plowman and Randy Boyd, Chancellor and President of the University of Tennessee, discussing the firing of Jeremy Pruitt and Philip Fulmer also going into retirement. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. David Ubben from The Athletic will join us to begin the 8 o'clock hour, so looking forward to that conversation with him. We'll get his thoughts on all this mess that went down yesterday in Knoxville with Jeremy Pruitt and Philip Fulmer. And Joe, you know, the narrative yesterday out there that was just circulating around social media of, you know, Philip Fulmer kind of getting out of this and not having any responsibility in this, and Tennessee allowing him to just kind of ride off into the sunset here. I mean, it was amazing to watch that press conference yesterday and just the love fest that was taking place with Philip Fulmer. And I was just thinking about it, like, are they really trying to sell this as if this is just like, you know what, I'm Philip Fulmer and I've decided to retire right now, and you know what, I've been so thankful for my time at Tennessee, but it's just time. I'm 70 years old. It's time for me to go home. Now, look, I knew that Philip Fulmer wasn't going to be the long-term athletics director. I didn't think that he was going to be here for the next 5 years or anything like that. But let's not forget, he signed Jeremy Pruitt to a contract extension a few months ago. He also got a contract extension a few months ago. So it's not like it was anywhere in the plans for him to you know, step down and let somebody else take over with this job. And the sell job that Tennessee tried to throw out there yesterday, that this had nothing to do with the investigation and it's just time for Philip Fulmer to sit down, I thought was just ludicrous and, quite frankly, an insult to all of our intelligence.
Yeah, there was a lot of insulting of the intelligence of fans of you know, the general public yesterday, and that was one of those things. I mean, in the spring, like you said, the plan for Philip Fulmer clearly, as of starting this fall, because the extension actually was signed in May, we didn't find out about it until the fall. It was one. I mean, that was another weird thing. Like, they didn't announce it, but he got an extension, and so his plan was to do this job until basically 3 years from now, until the last day of 2023. So that's about right. I mean, as he pointed out yesterday, he's 70, but that's about right. And the idea, it seems to me, is at that point, Jeremy Pruitt will have brought the program to a certain point, who knows how far, but gotten it to the point where you've had your full cycle. It's all your players in the program. And obviously the hope being that maybe there would have been a trip to Atlanta in there somewhere. This is why Fulmer gave him an extension. This is why in the spring, and, you know, a lot of people have been bumping this thing. We got Fulmer at one of those fan events saying, hey, we're about to start taking a bite out of everybody else's butt. You know, I mean, there was a lot of confidence, a lot of bravado, and certainly a plan for 3 more years. And now all of a sudden, I'm just going to get out right now. Of course, this has to do with this. Look, I have said it earlier in the show. I agree with Fulmer that the next coach should have an AD that he believes, you know, will be with him. And that's the one thing of everything said yesterday that I was like, yeah, that's totally true. I totally buy that. But everything else was obviously just a bunch of spin. And again, some of the hyperbole around this stuff, to me, like, it was just unnecessary. Like, do we really need to go this far in praising the guy right now?
Yeah, it was unbelievable. And, you know, he came out with this statement yesterday at the press conference on his decision to retire. And I heard this and was watching it live. And all I could do while he was saying this was just shake my head. Here's what Philip Fulmer had to say on why now is the time for him to retire.
The unexpected need to hire a new coach caused me to reevaluate my place in the organization. I knew we need stability and continuity at Tennessee, and our next football coach needs to be on our sideline for 10 years or more, and I am confident that we will find that coach, but also am confident that he will want and need to know who his athletic director is going to be for the duration. I asked Chancellor Plowman if we could revisit my position, and she agreed.
And it's amazing because you're trying to follow the timeline here as well, Joe, and you're sitting here hearing this sell job from Tennessee that, you know, they've just recently come to the decision here in the last few days that Jeremy Pruitt is not going to be the head coach here. And then you think back to the search firm that was apparently hired, and they had the sell job yesterday. Well, that was because, you know, Fulmer approached, you know, Plowman sometime, I think last week it was, and talked about, you know, it, now is apparently the time to retire. And then you hear those comments there from Fulmer. He's like, yeah, you know, when with the unexpected need to hire a new head coach, I just felt like this was time. All this timeline stuff that they're trying to sell does not add up when you put all those pieces together.
No, not at all. It doesn't make sense. You know, another thing, a good question. I'm not sure who asked it, but good question about Kevin Steele yesterday, because, you know, when they hired Kevin Steele, obviously there was a lot. I mean, look, there's some people very close to Philip Fulmer who were basically like, okay, see, there you go. Jeremy Pruitt was able to hire him. What does that tell you? Huh? Well, it didn't end up telling you anything, but Philip Fulmer was asked about Kevin Steele and said, you know, he didn't know he was going to be, you know, in this situation. Well, there is no way Kevin Steele signs up to go be part of a lame duck coaching staff if he doesn't think that he's going to get this opportunity.
Exactly.
Whether someone expressed that to him explicitly or not, it's a pretty easy one to read. So, I mean, obviously Kevin Steele took that thinking that this was going to happen. Let's be real about that. And so that's another thing that just gets – if it wasn't a flat-out lie, it was at least some pretty bad spin.
Which is also pretty amazing when you think about that part of it, because if you're Tennessee and you know that this is coming with Jeremy Pruitt and you bring Kevin Steele into the fold, I mean, that would tell me, like, at least your eye is not fully on Gus Malzahn. Like, I know a lot of Tennessee fans yesterday were talking about, hey, you know, we need Gus Malzahn to come in. You know, Hugh Freeze, I know that there's still a lot of chatter out there about Hugh Freeze. To me, there's absolutely zero way that happens. Like, I don't think
Zero.
The SEC would even let that happen at this point. So that you can just forget about that, I think, if you're a Tennessee fan. But then a lot of the chatter kind of fixated on Gus Malzahn yesterday to maybe come in and try to salvage this mess. But if that was your plan, if you're Tennessee, what in the world are you bringing in Kevin Steele for? Like, none of this makes any sense.
Yeah, I mean that tells me that they have no interest in Gus Malzahn. The Hugh Freeze thing, if you're going to sit there and talk integrity, integrity, integrity.
Man.
And oh, we cannot have the. I mean, Randy Boyd, seriously. All right, let me go to the script again. Randy Boyd seriously sits there and says, you know, future players, if you want integrity, this is the place for you. So let me translate that. Oh, so basically, we're never getting good recruits again. Wonderful. That sounds awesome. But you sit there and talk about integrity this, integrity that, and make it seem like Jeremy Pruitt has been committing the crimes of the century, then you can't even utter the name Hugh Freeze out loud. So you completely – I don't think it was a possibility anyway. But yesterday, I mean, look, there's a lot of hypocrisy in college athletics, but, like, there's still lines that you draw, you know, in the sand that you can't cross. That, I mean, that was ended yesterday.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, do you think there's a chance that Fulmer tried to stand up for Jeremy Pruitt and got forced out by the chancellor as a result? Joe, what do you think of that?
Well, I mean, look, we got the Philip Fulmer statement, you know, shortly after the season, right? So at that point, the investigation had been going on for almost a month. And still, we get the Fulmer statement, look forward to supporting Jeremy and the kids in the spring, or whatever he said, you know, about the bowl game and blah, blah, blah. I mean, look, that wasn't the strongest statement. I mean, I know we all were like, okay, so why don't you say it a little more explicitly? But still, that was a statement of Philip Fulmer saying, I'm supporting Jeremy Pruitt. I get the sense. I mean, look, the thing about this investigation, it's not done. Jeremy Pruitt is not privy to all the details as detailed by his lawyer yesterday. That tells me Philip Fulmer wasn't either. Maybe he was at the very end because he did talk about, you know, disappointing the individuals in this report. But I don't think Philip Fulmer totally knew this was coming either. Do I think it was like a, I'm standing up for him at all costs and that's it, then you're fired? No. I think it was just an agreed upon, okay, you know what? Let's move on from you. We'll move on with a search. Thank you so much. We'll say the nicest things we can possibly come up with to say about you, and you will retain your legacy as a national championship winning coach at Tennessee.
They didn't want to fire him twice. I mean, that's what this boils down to. They fired Philip Fulmer once. They didn't want to fire him twice. That's all this is.
That's a good way to put it.
So that's basically the way that – that's the takeaway I had from all that nonsense and just the over-the-top sell job of how great Philip Fulmer yesterday is, was in that press conference. It's just – it was nauseating to watch, and I think it was also nauseating for Philip Fulmer as well. Like, you could see the discomfort on his face. So a guy who was there and at the press conference yesterday, our man David Ubben from The Athletic, we'll get his thoughts on everything that went down in Knoxville yesterday. That's coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.